the Tarsha Bal Peh, the Talmud Bavli, starts with Kriyashma. That's the first topic that we have in the entire Talmud Bavli. It's a little bit of a discussion why that is. There are a number of theories why it is that the Talmud Bavli was organized that way. The entire Shas starts in that way. We should start with Kriyashma as the first topic. If you look in the back of your Gemara, you have the big Gemara, so there's a Hakdama of the Rambam to Mishnayos, Hakdama of the Rambam to Seder's Roim, and there are Hagos in the middle, stuck there. So there it's brought down that the reason the Mishnayos start with Brachos is for the simple reason, leaving it start with Kriyashma, is for the simple reason of Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. You want to start the experience of delving into wisdom. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Yichud Hashem, is recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. That's the most important topic. That's the one perspective. In the Tzlach, the Tzlach is a very important sefer on Brachos, an important sefer in general. The Noda Bihuda's Chidushim on Shas, he named it after his mother. It's Yuno Nefesh Chai, Tzlach by abbreviation. So the Tzlach in the beginning of Brachos, he suggests a couple of other theories why it is that that's going to be the first topic. Could be it's to parallel Tarash B'Chsav, and it should parallel the Asaras HaDibros. That the Asaras HaDibros start with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so Mishnah should also start with a mitzvah that's about Anochi Hashem, and that is again Kriyashma. And that's one theory. Another theory is that you might get scared. Another theory that the Tzlach mentions is you might get scared that we're going to start Tarash B'Chsav now. So everyone knows Tarash B'Chsav calls, and they start Tarash B'Chsav, and they're going to think, oh, what's going on? So we have two Torahs, and maybe there's two gods. So the first mitzvah we should start off Tarash B'Chsav with is about Kriyashma, which is going to remind us that there's only one God, and both Tarash B'Chsav and Tarash B'Chsav both come from the same God. It's all one source. That's the second thing that the Tzlach suggests. And the third thing he suggests is that within Kriyashma we find a major message for all of Tarash B'Chsav, because within Kriyashma we have the phrase V'shinantam u'banecha v'dibaitabam, that we should teach the Torah to our children and we should talk about it. Assuming that's talking about Torah, which is also a dispute in the Gemara. So he says, assuming that's talking about teaching Torah, so we wouldn't need this if it's talking about Tarash B'Chsav, because we already know, Torah already tells us that we're not allowed to forget the things that are in Torah. So clearly the things that are in Tarash B'Chsav, we would already know that we have an obligation to talk about all the time and to learn. So it must be, this is also an instruction by Tarash B'Chsav. The Torah is telling us that when it comes to Tarash B'Chsav, we should talk about it a lot, and we should teach it to our children, and so therefore, since that message is included in Kriyashma, it's an appropriate theme to start off the Tarash B'Chsav with. There are a number of theories why it is that this is the first mitzvah. This is the first mitzvah that the Tarash B'Chsav that the Talmud Bavli discusses. And for whatever it is, that's how we open up things. We start off talking about Kriyashma, and for the most part, the various issues that are going to happen in Kriyashma, for the most part, I'd like to try to deal with in their place, and we get to the different sugyas that talk about them, so let's talk about the different details, each one in this place, since we have that opportunity if we're going to go straight, just to say a few words. So we have a mitzvah of Kriyashma. We normally assume that that's a mitzvah minhag Torah. That's the overwhelming opinion in the Rishonim and in Halacha. There is some room to have a different opinion, largely because the Gemara has such an opinion. The Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph seems like it has an opinion. The Gemara has a discussion about if somebody is not sure whether or not he said Kriyashma, so does he say it again or not? Do we treat it as a Seged Araisa or not? The Seged Araisa would therefore mandate that we should be Machmer and we should ask you to repeat Kriyashma. So the Gemara has machlokas about this, and apparently including an opinion that Kriyashma is only the Rabban. So there are scattered tosafim which seem to possibly consider this opinion, but it seems to be the overwhelming view in Rishonim that Kriyashma is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and there's a tosafim in Sota and Daf Lamed Beis and the other Rishonim around here that suggest that even those opinions that consider the idea that Kriyashma could be the Rabban, they don't really mean it that way, because there's too many sugyas in Shas, there's too many dinim that we're going to see throughout this Masechta that seems to be working off the assumption that Kriyashma is Daraisa. So it must be, the way Tosos understands it, and the way Tosos and Sota understands it, and some other Rishonim understand also, that it must be that even those who think that Kriyashma is Rabbanan don't really think that the whole concept is Rabbanan. They agree that there is a mitzvah Daraisa to say twice a day certain psukim that evoke the unity of Hashem. And it just happens to be a question of whether or not those psukim have to be the psukim that we associate with Kriyashma. But to say that there's no obligation to do anything, when I tell you that's harder to imagine, there's too many Gemaras that sound like it, and so it's probably the way Tosfos understands that even those opinions that Kriyashma is Rabbanan, they're only questioning the precise psukim that we say, but it's got to be that the idea of some type of recitation in this context, that's the right. So, but either way, the vast majority of opinions in Rishonim seem to endorse the impression that we get from Shas in general, that this is an obligation in HaTorah. And that's something that we have to do twice a day. Now, how much of it is an obligation is a bigger dispute, and that's a topic I'd like to defer until we get into Gemara to talk about it more. There are at least three or four opinions in Rishonim, whether it's the first paragraph of Kriyashma, that's in HaTorah, or it's the first sentence, it's the first pasuk, or is it the first two paragraphs, is it the first three paragraphs, or is it the first two paragraphs and the third paragraph for a different reason. So all of that is for a different time, that's Hashem, we'll try to come to that. But what exactly constitutes Kriyashma in HaTorah? That's a little bit of a dispute that we'll hopefully get to, but for the most part, the idea that there's some obligation in HaTorah, so that seems to be pretty much consensus opinion. Now, we assume that part of this obligation is also that it is apparently bound to certain times. That there's an obligation of Kriyashma at night and an obligation of Kriyashma during the day. And that the definition of what constitutes one and what constitutes the other. And what complicates things is going to make for a lot of discussion is that the Torah does not use the words night and day. The Torah uses the word b'shach b'chol v'kumecha. The mitzvah of Kriyashma during sleeping time, in the midst of Kriyat Shema during waking time. Now, what exactly does that mean? And what exactly is the relationship between sleeping time and night and waking time and day? That's a bigger discussion, which also we're going to see. There is a lot to figure out. There are some who want to suggest that there's a sefer, for example, called Kuntres Pnei Yeshua. It's not to be confused with the Pnei Yeshua, a much more recent sefer called Kuntres Pnei Yeshua, which the entire sefer deals with this amud, with Brachas Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It's not a smaller sefer, it's five long essays. So the first essay is a very long discussion that he wants to understand from some Rishonim that there's different ways to understand the Rishonim, how the obligation is spelled out. That the way he reads the Rashi over here, and a couple of other Rishonim, is that when the Torah says, V'shachbucha uv'kumecha, so the Torah is telling you two things. There's an obligation of Kriyat Shema, and there's an obligation of nighttime and daytime. And then on the other hand, there are Rishonim who understand differently, that the Dibayit Avam is telling you there's an obligation of Kriyat Shema, and then the Pasuk V'shachbucha uv'kumecha is telling you an obligation, how the obligations are played out, as far as timing. So what difference it makes sound like a very subtle difference. So if you take a look, if you're interested in this topic, you take a look in the Kuntres Pnei Yeshua I have on here, before he has a very long essay discussing what the differences could be. But it has a little bit of an effect on the question of whether Kriyat Shema is one big mitzvah, or whether it's two mitzvahs. Is it one mitzvah that has a role during the daytime and during the nighttime? Or do we view nighttime and daytime as two separate mitzvahs? Which happens to be a machlokas HaRishonim. The Rambam counted Kriyat Shema as one mitzvah that has a time during the daytime and during the nighttime. And the Ramban understood Kriyat Shema to be two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema at night and a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema during the daytime. This is a dispute that the Rambam and Ramban have in a couple places. They have it in the context of the Talmud, in the context of the Ketores also. Different obligations that seem to come up twice in a day. So do we see that as one mitzvah? Do we see that as two mitzvahs? So that's a dispute that the Rambam and Ramban have in a couple of places. And it could be related to how you learn at the source. You understand that B'shachbucha is telling you one mitzvah, mitzvah Kriyat Shema at night. U'B'kumecha is telling you another mitzvah Kriyat Shema during the daytime. That's maybe what Rashi is saying. Or do we say, no, the Dibayit Avam is telling you the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and then the Pasuk also tells the details of B'shachbucha of Kumecha, that's when we have these mitzvahs. That's a good question. So then do they become linked? Is that the suggestion that the Rambam is trying to say? That if I only read Kriyat Shema during one of the days, during one part of the day, do I have an incomplete mitzvah even from that aspect? So that's something that I have to try to figure out if that's exactly what it is that's going on. There is an interesting comment that the Kesef Mishnah has, that we normally assume that there's a Sosman Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. And as we'll see from the Mishnah, it's a question, functionally, how much is there really a Sosman Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? That there's going to be a dispute in the Mishnah that we'll take a look at inside in a second. There's going to be a dispute in the Mishnah, how exactly do we cut off Kriyat Shema at night? And it could be that at least in theory, it seems likely that at least in theory, Kriyat Shema could be read all night. So if Kriyat Shema could be read all night, so then that's a major difference between Kriyat Shema at night and Kriyat Shema during the daytime. Because Kriyat Shema during the daytime, we assume, unfortunately, there's a Sosman Kriyat Shema every day. Right? That 3 hours into the day, so it's already too late. After 3 hours into the day, it's already too late for Kriyat Shema. Because 3 hours means a quarter of the day, and that's a discussion we'll get into in its right place. Whatever is 3 halachic hours, 3/12 of the day, is when it's no longer possible to say Kriyat Shema. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, it's not fair. It's lament we all have about Sosman Kriyat Shema, it's not fair. But how could it be that if the Kriyat Shema at night is a Shechiva at night, so the Kriyat Shema can be done all night? So why should it be that when it comes to the Kriyat Shema of the daytime, so there's a cutoff point? These two mitzvahs are somewhat part of a set, at least in some context, somewhat part of a set. So why should it be that there should be a cutoff time for Shacharis, but not really functionally any cutoff time for Ma'ariv? So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that it must be that there isn't one. Don't get too excited, but Midrabanan, there is one. Midrabanan, just like as we'll see from the Mishnah, that Midrabanan, there seems to be a Sosman Kriyat Shema Shel Ma'ariv also. So too, Midrabanan, the Sosman Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, but the whole concept is Midrabanan, and at Torah, Kriyat Shema is all day. That's what the Kesef Mishnah wanted to suggest, and this was generally not accepted. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting shuvah about this that relates to a Gemara later that we'll talk about. But the Taz and the Magen Avraham and Siman Ches and Shulchan Aruch, so they explain that there's just a grammatical difference. That to assume that Shechiva and Kima should be interpreted in identical ways is not necessarily reasonable. That the word Shechiva, just if you want to translate, the word Shechiva means to be lying down. And the word Kima means to be getting up. Doesn't mean to be standing up. They happen not to be parallel terms exactly. They happen to be that Shechiva could refer to any time that somebody is lying down. So therefore, in theory, it could cover the whole night. Not just the time when someone is going to sleep. Although, as we'll see, that might be one opinion in the Mishnah. But the way we understand Shechiva could be the whole time that one is lying down. While Kima, just the way the word is structured, means to be getting up. Means to be standing up. Means to be beginning to stand up. And therefore, that is not the whole day. It just that it happens to be that the terms don't parallel each other. So indeed, against the Kesef Mishnah saying, Min HaTorah, there is a limit on how long Kriyat Shema during the daytime is gonna last. One of the objections that like Rav Taz raised on the Kesef Mishnah is it can't be that what the Kesef Mishnah is saying is correct, because if the Kesef Mishnah is right, so basically it means that the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is functional 24 hours a day. Right? It means that there's no Sosman Kriyat Shema at night, no Sosman Kriyat Shema during the daytime, so it means all day you can say Kriyat Shema. And that can't be true because it's an explicit Gemara that we'll talk about that Kriyat Shema is mitzvah zeh shazman grama. That women are pasuk from Kriyat Shema because it has a time limit. And according to what the Kesef Mishnah is saying, Min HaTorah, there is no time limit. So, then that seems to be an issue here. That's what the Shagas Aryeh points out. The Shagas Aryeh says, you see from here, that it must be that he seems to be assuming that it must be that it really is two mitzvahs, and that's why even the Kesef Mishnah can call this mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. That if a mitzvah functions 24 hours a day, but it switches shifts in the middle, it becomes mitzvah Kriyashma daytime, Kriyashma nighttime, so then that's not called mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. You have to assume that that's what the Kesef Mishnah is saying. And it could be that, in general, a question that's maybe being debated here, that if you have such a situation, if you have a mitzvah that's relevant all day, but at some point it changes its name from Kriyashma during the day to Kriyashma at night, so do we call that mitzvah Seishas Man Grama or not? So it could be that that's an issue. So that's also something that might be under the surface here. Hi? Yes, I think that that's a possible explanation also. Basically, there's two ways to say it. The fact is, we see from the Kesef Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah knows that the Gemara calls Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, and yet he's still willing to say that Minhag Torah applies 24 hours. So you could take two approaches. You could say that this is a raya like the Ramban, there's two mitzvahs here, or you could say, like you're saying, that no, it doesn't have to be the two separate mitzvahs. The fact is, if it doesn't have the same opportunities at each time, that's not called Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. Okay, so that's a little bit of a question. There's a lot more to say about this, but most of the things I'd like to talk about in the proper place, and just with those words of introduction, so let's try to take a look at the Mishnah a little bit. And a lot of the things that will come out of the Mishnah and this first post, which I'd like to hopefully get to, a lot of the major topics will be introduced. And we'll see how far we get today, and then we'll continue a little bit next week. So first the Mishnah begins telling us, okay, so acknowledge that there is a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema at night. I shouldn't say acknowledge, because Mora is going to ask it, but for now, for our purposes, let's acknowledge there's a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema at night. So how exactly is that bounded? How exactly do we find the parameters of when this starts and when this ends? So the Mishnah begins, Me'emotzai Karinus HaShema Ba'arvin. There is a famous comment to the Vilna Gaon. It's attributed to Vilna Gaon, but you find a similar comment in the Ritva already. The Ritva in the beginning of Megillah, it's a lot less famous. But it's much more closely associated with the Vilna Gaon's comment a little bit later, that assumes that there's some precision in this word, Emesai Korin. That the Mishnah uses a plural word, that we read the Kriyashma at this time, so while in other places we find singular verbs used. So why is that? So for example, in the beginning of the first Mishnah in Megillah, says Megillah Mikreis. Megillah is read by an individual. So there, the Ritva comments, along the spirit of what the Vilna Gaon comments here, that the difference is that when we have a Megillah, so Megillah is usually read by one person for the entire Tzibur, because we have the principle of Shemei Ka'onah. So the principle of Shemei Ka'onah means that one person can read and everyone else can listen. So the Megillah is read by an individual, but when it comes to Kriyashma, so apparently there's no Shemei Ka'onah by Kriyashma. So is that really true or not? That's a big discussion, but that's not for now. We'll come back to that. But that's what the Vilna Gaon is medayik. But the reason the Mishnah is saying this is because since we know there's no Shemei Ka'onah when it comes to Kriyashma, so therefore all of us are reading independently. So Me'ema Sai Korin, when is it that all of us read Kriyashma? That's the topic of one of the chapters in the Parshas Pnei Yehoshua. Right, exactly. That's the deal that the Gra makes. That by brachas it says mevarach, because by brachas you can have Shemei Ka'onah, but by Kriyashma you can't. And again, whether or not that assumption is true is a topic for a different discussion. Be'ez Hashem, hopefully we'll get to it. But as we see the Mishnah, that's something that the Vilna Gaon comments. And the Ritva, talking about Megillah, makes that identical type of observation in his opening words in Maseches Megillah. So when do we start reading this Kriyashma at night? So the Mishnah gives us a couple of possibilities. Mishasha, kind of nichnasim la'achol b'shemasan. So that's the first part. So as far as the beginning times, the Mishnah doesn't give us a few possibilities, and we'll see that'll be a very hot topic. In the Gemara, we will see other possibilities on this topic. But from the Mishnah, so all we see is that the Kriyashma begins when the Kohanim go in to eat Truma, and that seems to be a kind of a convoluted way of saying Seisach HaKohanim. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss, why it is that we have to be taught that way, and why it is Mishnah can't just say Seisach HaKohanim, and what's the difference. So that's all not for now. If you saw the Gemara a little bit there, if you will see the Gemara a little bit here in the phase and basement days, the discussion why the Mishnah had to use that type of language, but whatever it is, this is basically a way of saying Seisach HaKohanim. So the Mishnah so tells us that Kriyashma starts at Seisach HaKohanim. So then when does it go until? So Ad Sof HaShmura HaRishona, it goes until the end of the first third, and you'll see in the Gemara whole discussion whether a third is 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever, according to one third of the night, that's the first opinion in the Mishnah, that's Divrei Rabbi Elazar. According to the Elazar, so Kriyashma goes until one third of the night. And the Chachamim Omer Me'ad Chatzos. And Chachamim say it goes a little bit longer, or it goes until Chatzos. And Rabbi Gamliel, the third opinion of Gamliel, says, Achi Yalam Rashachar. Gamliel says it goes until all night. So that's initially the three opinions that we have in the Mishnah here as to when Sofsman Kriyashma Shal Arvis is. And as the Mishnah alludes to, and you'll see also there's a Gemara later on in that test, which we'll try to figure out who it is exactly that Chachamim agree with. What exactly is going on with Chachamim's opinion. And we generally assume that Chachamim really, and this is what the Mishnah is going to explain, Chachamim really agree with Rabbi Gamliel. That really Kriyashma could have been all night. That there's no reason in HaTorah why Kriyashma shouldn't be all night. Just happens to be that we're afraid that if we let you say Kriyashma all night, so chances are things are going to happen. I've heard rumors that people tend to fall asleep in surprising situations, and that you think you're going to be up for a while, and all of a sudden you find that it doesn't always work out. So it's not such a safe thing to tell people to say Kriyashma all night. So for that reason, Chazal came in and said that even though in HaTorah we could have say Kriya Shema all night, nonetheless, we're going to cut it off for Chatzos. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah was using as his example when he said Sosma and Kriya Shema Shal Shachris is a Drabonim. So he was working off this model that we see that just like Chazal made Sosma and Kriya Shema at night, so they also maybe made Sosma and Kriya Shema during the daytime. Maybe it's the same type of institution. But that's apparently what Chazal are doing in the Mishnah. They cut off Kriya Shema in the middle. And that's the way it seems to be the understanding that Chachamim were really, in theory, agreeing with Rabbi Gamliel. The Mishnah goes on to tell us a story that Rabbi Gamliel's kids came home from a party one night, and it was after Chatzos, and they didn't know what to do, so they asked Rabbi Gamliel what to do. So the Gemara is going to ask later on about that. The Gemara is going to ask they didn't know what their father's opinion was. It's the Mishnah. They didn't know the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. First Mishnah in Shas, they didn't know that Kriya Shema could be done all night. So the Gemara explains that really nobody knew what Rabbi Gamliel said. Right. Good point. So they knew what Rabbi Gamliel's opinion was, but they figured that Chachamim disagreed with him. So they thought that maybe Halacha was passing out like him. So they wanted to know that, is it really that Chachamim think Ma'ikar Hadin, that you're wrong, that Kriya Shema has to stop at Chatzos? Or do they really agree with you in theory and just advise that it be before Chatzos? And that's how the Mishnah then gets this conclusion. The Mishnah goes on to say, no, they really agree with me. He says that, and it's not just this, but it's everything, that whenever you can do something, everything that we say, until Chatzos really means until all morning, but just we were afraid until the morning, but Chazal were afraid, L'harchik Adam and Haver. So therefore, Chazal made exactly that it should be Chatzos. So if you're going to say, what would the Havmin of Rabbi Gamliel's kids? So apparently, Rabbi Gamliel's kids thought that maybe Chachamim had an independent opinion that Kriya Shema should be till Chatzos. I mean, that Torah Kriya Shema should be till Chatzos. So why should that be? So if that's true, so we can understand Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that Kriya Shema is until the first third of the night. And we can understand Rabbi Gamliel's opinion that it's all night. Why? Because apparently, Rabbi Elazar is holding like that Shechiva and Kima should be parallel. That the same way Kima only means when you're getting up, so Shechiva means when you're going to sleep. So the first third of the night, people are going to sleep. So it's only that time period that's relevant for Kriya Shema. Okay, interesting. But it seems that he's working off the definition of Shechiva. That he's probably, it could be that he's saying, it could be that he's also understanding Shechiva as parallel to Kima. That Kima means when you start to get up, when we change position from sleeping to standing up. So too, Shechiva means when we change position from standing up to lying down. But it could be this is some type of a message about the starting the night on the wrong foot, or off the wrong foot as the case would be. But assuming Rabbi Elazar is defining Shechiva, so then where does Chachamim come in? So what exactly is, to say it's Chatzos, if Chatzos is really not just a Gzera, but it's really a Maker Adin type of opinion, so what exactly is that all about? So Rabbi Willigan, his Sefer and Brachas, and now Mordechai, he thought that this was related to a comment that the Mohammed has over here. That in the beginning of the paragraph here, so the Riff points out that Kriya Shema at night, so really should go to Omer HaShachar, that's when the night really ends. And I think it's around 4 something nowadays in Los Angeles. And Netzachama is a little bit later, so it's 5 something, I think, in Los Angeles. So Kriya Shema really has to be done until Amud HaShachar, that's when the night's over. And the Di'evet says the Rif of Shas Atzach, it can be done until Netzachama. So the Mohammed over there has a comment that really a lot of these manim are lechachila, and there's also a B'di'evet time. So what's that all about? That apparently, on the one hand, we would really like to define these terminologies of Shechiva and Kima, which have a certain subjectivity to them. So I'm standing up now, I'm awake now, I'm asleep then. So really, it seems to be changeable, depending on the person. So really, we should define them based on Rov. That most people are asleep at a certain time, that's Shechiva. Most people are awake at a different time, that's Kima. So really, the Chachila, that's when the Kriya Shema should be said. During the time when most people are asleep, that's Shechiva. And when most people are awake, that's Kima. But if a significant minority, if there is a good chunk of normal people who are still who are asleep, that's also on some level Shechiva, especially because the Torah uses the expression, B'shach B'cha, you're sleeping, you're lying down. U'v'kumecha, you're getting up. So that's how the Ramban explains the Muhammad. So since the Torah says you're lying down, you're getting up, so we have to say there is some level of subjectivity to it. We have to acknowledge the miyut in some way. So but the Yavet, the time when a recognizable miyut is shokev, is still called Shechiva. So therefore, but the Yavet, up until a small portion of the population actually sleeps until Netzachama, so that is also called Shechiva on some level. But the Chachila should really be before. So I really wanted to suggest that that's also what's going on here. That maybe, what's the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim? They said Rabbi Elazar says the first third of the night is when people are going to sleep, and then say the Chachamim say it's the first half. So what are they fighting about? They're fighting about Metzius? We're very reluctant to say that. We're very reluctant to say that a dispute that's in the Mishnah is related, and even if it's been Rishonim, we're always hesitant to say that it's based on a question of statistics. You know, that, oh, according to the first opinion, most people are sleeping at this time, and according to the second opinion, most people are sleeping at that time. We don't like saying that. We say, take a poll, find out what people are doing. We normally want to assume that a machlokus that's established in the Mishnah Ladoris is not based on Metzius. So rather, they must agree on Metzius. It must be that they agree that most people are going to sleep in the first third. But up until Chatzos is when a smaller portion of people are going to sleep. And Rabbi Elazar was telling you that really Shechiva should be when most people are going to sleep. And Chachamim was saying even when there's a Miyut, that's still called Shechiva. But that's all theoretical, because the Mishnah tells us that really Chachamim agree with Rabbi Gamliel, and Chachamim really agree that Kriyat Shema should be all night. Everyone following so far? Okay, so Kriyat Shema should really be all night, but Chazal made a gzera that it should be only until Chatzos. Now the nature of that gzera, I'd like to discuss more in the next discussion. There's a lot to say about that, but we'll get into that more in the next discussion. Stam, it's an interesting thing. Hi. That's a good question. To what extent do we have a right to do that? And to what extent do we have a right to determine how much... in general, it's a question. Rav Schechter always points out that in the Mishnah, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that 2,000 years of Tohu and 2,000 years of Torah and 2,000 years of Bias HaMashiach, that the Chazon Ish comments on that the 2,000 years of Torah, that's when the Dinim were established. Whatever the Matzias was then, that's how things go. And then after that, even if certain... he talks about this in Yeridah in the context of Treifus, that the Mishnah tells us that certain defects made in the animal... treif. So even if nowadays we don't necessarily determine it that way, so halacha still told us that's what treif is. So in general, questions like this, where we need a certain element of human behavior to define how a halacha should be established, that's what the Gemara tells us in Bav Mitzvah, that Avinu Rav Ashi so far, that's over when the Chassimus of Talmud took place, that was done. So it could be that that's how halachas were set into place. But it's probably a longer discussion, which may be a little bit outside of our scope for now. But in any case, so we have some type of exer that Kriyat Shema should be until Chatzos. That topic I'd like to discuss later. I'll just mention that it's an interesting point. The whole idea of making a gzeirah for mitzvah saseh is already unusual. And we normally assume that, see, you find this in the Mishnah already. This is the same Mishnah that tells us that the hektech halav ve'varim is vasan hashelam ha'shachar, that the burning of the fats and the limbs from the karbanos that were given that day, so that goes all night. And Rashi writes over here, and we'll discuss this next time if it's not agreed upon by Yoreh Shonen, but Rashi writes that there was no gzeirah about that. That Chazal did not come and make any gzeirah that when it comes to karbanos that we should stop burning the chalav and the, we should stop burning the fat of the chalav mevarim. So, why? Apparently because it's not an isakaris. Rashi seems to emphasize that when we have the isakaris, that's where we made the gzeir. And Kriyat Shema doesn't seem to fit this. And as Rashi already indicates, it's very sensitive that Kriyat Shema doesn't seem to fit the rules. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah say. So Rashi has a line here that, Kim Kriyat Shema lezariz esa adam. He seems to need more motivation here. Hi? Right? So that Gemara Nivamis, either way, whether it has to do with me going wrong or not, so in general, the Gemara says in Nivamis that Mishmarti, the Torah says, Sisa Mishmaris and Mishmarti, that you should make, you should protect my Mishmaris. So that's why we make Gezeris. So whether or not that's Dafka because of Krisus or because of other Yisurim is a big question that David is raising. So Rashi here seems to emphasize the Karis factor. But either way, that's how the Prima Gadim points out, Prima Gadim in his introduction, in the general introduction of Tzicha HaKalelis, that it would seem that if you have a mitzvah saseh like Kriyashma, so that should not be subject to Gezeris. Like Gezeris are all about preventing you from doing Yisurim. And Kriyashma doesn't involve in it. I thought you were talking about the Mishmash. Okay, so fine. So that's a fine topic. But I'm just focusing on the fact that Rashi here brings up the Karis point. So why Rashi emphasizes Karis as opposed to anything else is a fair question. But either way, both of them leave us on the wrong side of Kriyashma. The Kriyashma is an essay, and Kriyashma would not seem to be subject to Xeris. And that's how the Prima Gadim explains in the Tzichah HaKalel is that Yasisa Mishmarish Mishmarti, that the Mishmarish is a way of saying a prohibition. The Torah tells us that the Gemara says that there are different words the Torah uses for prohibition. Hishamer, Pan, also Hishamer is a way of saying a prohibition. So when the Talmud tells us to make Xeris, the Talmud says, Yasisa Mishmeres Mishmarti, that my prohibitions should be protected. So why do we have a gzeirah from Mitzvah Seh here? So some suggest, there's a Sefer from Rapid Lenefesh, is very nice, Svarim on Arachayim, and on the Masechta, where he quotes from the Bnei Yisrael, that Kriyat Shema is, since it's so central, that's we start Shas with it, because it's all about the basic ABCs of life, excepting the Yichud Hashem. So therefore, this is a special case, that even for this Mitzvah Seh, we're going to make a gzeirah. But there's a lot to say about this gzeirah, and about the lack of gzeirah, or not lack of gzeirah, by Hektech Lov Mevarim, so that I'd like to discuss next time. Well, I don't know how much we'll get to this topic this time, but let's focus more on what we'd like to start talking about now. So, okay, so we see from the Mishnah a little bit of a dispute as to when Kriyat Shema ends, but it seems again from the Mishnah that there's no argument as to when Kriyat Shema begins. I said before that it seems like the Mishnah because we'll see from the Gemara that it's not so obvious, but from the Mishnah only tells us that Seisa Kochav. So that creates a big question, because we're all familiar with seeing many fine Jews, daven Meirv, when it's quite light outside. And they apparently sang Kriyat Shema also at that time. So what exactly is going on? If the Mishnah is unequivocal that Kriyat Shema starts at Tzeisa Kochavim, so why do we see so many people davening Meirv with Kriyat Shema before Tzeisa Kochavim? And this is not a modern phenomenon. This is a phenomenon that the Rishonim all discuss. This is not something that just started happening in modern times. But all the Rishonim are taken up by this topic, and there's a huge fight in the Rishonim. I don't know how far we'll get today. We'll see, at least lay it out a little bit, and then we'll discuss a lot of major issues that come out of this discussion. So, first of all, so Rashi takes up this topic, right? So Rashi says, at the top of the page, Ad Sof Hashmer HaRishona. So Rashi says that according to this opinion, which we don't hold like that, Kriyashma goes until the first third, that Misham Ve'elech Overs Man Deloy Mikri Tu's Man Shechiva, that according to that first opinion, after the first third of the night is no longer called Shechiva, V'lo Karina Be'e Shachbacha. So we can't apply the Pasuk of the Shachbacha to such a time period. Now what's the flip side of that? It says Rashi, Mekami Hafi Nami Lam Z'man Shechiva. That before Tesach HaChavim is also not considered to be a Shechiva. So wait a minute. So therefore, the Fikach HaKari, Kol Bekem Elatzi Dechavasa. So somebody who reads Kriyashma before Tesach HaChavim is not Yotze. So wait a minute, so what about the whole world? Don't we see people all over the place? Davening Ma'ariv early? So Rashi asks this question, so therefore why is it that people who are going to shul at that time period, and as prevalent as that is nowadays, was even more prevalent in the time of the Rishonim when there were more issues of danger to be out in the road and there's no lighting, so people are going to be very hesitant to gather for a minyan after dark. So we're presuming that people are only meeting in the shul during daytime, so how is it that they're able to read Kriyashma then? So Rashi says, so the reason they're doing it then is not to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma, but rather, kidei la'amod tefila mitof devetaru. V'achitanya b'braisa b'rachat Yerushalmi. Based on Yerushalmi, Rashi suggests that the Kriyashma that takes place in shul when it's not yet dark is basically Ashrei. Right, that in the beginning of the fifth parak, the Mishnah tells us that it's not appropriate for a person to just jump into Shmon Ashrei. That a person is not focused on davening, a person is involved in other things. So it's not really appropriate to start Shmon Esrei that way. So rather, we have a concept of Kedei La'amo Tzila Mitof Divrei Torah, that we should have some type of Divrei Torah before we say Shmon Esrei. And it's not just any type of Divrei Torah, some types of Divrei Torah are dangerous. The post can say if you're going to get involved in Exos, it's going to leave you thinking, so that's not going to be so great either. It has to be a type of Divrei Torah that's going to get you focused, but it's not going to be too distracting. So our practice is, so when we daven Mincha, so we say Ashrei before we say Shmon Esrei, even though that's not really part of the Tefillah. Really, Tefillah's Mincha is Shmon Esrei, but we say Mincha, we say Ashrei first, because that's a way of being Mamet Tefillah Mitof Divrei Torah. Right?
Why is Rashi called the Yerushalmi if it's in the first Gemara and the Bible?
Which is the first Gemara? Oh yeah, the din of not, the Mishnah in the Bible, the Mishnah in Shas tells us not to daven when you're not focused. Yerushalmi. But the practice, Yerushalmi, I think Yerushalmi talks about Kriyashma, using Kriyashma for that purpose. That the same purpose that we use Ashrei for in Mincha, so Kriyashma can also serve that purpose. So Kriyashma that's being recited in Shul before Ma'ariv starts, so that's not going to be any good for Mitzvah Kriyashma, because it's too early. So why bother at all? So we bother at all because we want to have a Tefillah Mitof Divrei Torah. Now you could say, well, thank you very much, that explains why we bother at all, but what about the Mitzvah? So that explains why we're not wasting our time when we say Kriyashma at that time. But what about the Mitzvah of Kriyashma? So today Rashi says, well, we have another approach to that. Lefika chova alein lekroisa mishiteshach. We do taka have to read it again after dark. Okay, so far so good. Right? This happens to be, if we stopped right there, that would be very close to what our approach is. That basically, nowadays, when we find ourselves in a scenario, so we go to shul early, and if that's what we're doing, and they usually make an announcement in shul, please repeat Kriyashma after 9:15, but after whatever time it is, after Tesach HaChavim. So we go home and we're told to repeat Kriyashma. But here's where Rashi then says his controversial statement, with a Kriyas Parsha Rishona, Sha'adam Kari Al Mitaso, Yatsa. That through Kriyashma Al Hamita, that's good enough. So that got Tosfos all upset. That can't be. So there's a couple of aspects that Rashi says that Tosfos is going to zero in on. Rashi is saying that first of all, the Kriyashma that we do in shul when we are davening early is no good for Kriyashma. That is not the fulfillment of Kriyashma. And Kriyashma al Hamita is. And Tosfos is going to attack both of those. Tosfos is going to question that the idea of Kriyashma in shul not being any good. And it's going to question also the idea of Kriyashma al Hamita working. I mentioned our approach of we just repeat Kriyashma later, only disagrees with Rashi on one point. It disagrees with Rashi as far as using Kriyashma Lamita as the Kriyashma, but it agrees with Rashi that the Kriyashma in Shul is not really effective. The Tosfos is going to disagree on both counts. He's going to disagree that Kriyashma is any good for the Kriyashma Lamita is any good for this purpose, and he's going to also disagree with the central assumption that Kriyashma in Shul doesn't work. And Tosfos is going to end up saying, and there's going to be different reasons why it is, but Tosfos is going to end up saying that Kriyashma that we say in Shul does work. Now, this Tosfos raises a number of issues. I don't know how much we can discuss today, because it's already getting a little bit late. But just to get started, and if you saw the Tosfos? Alright, just to discuss a little bit what Tosfos is getting at, and then we'll discuss more details, I guess, next time. So there's really a lot to say about it. So Tosfos basically first deals with the Kriyashma Lamita problem. So it says that there are at least four reasons why this whole institution of Kriyashma Lamita as Iker Kriyashma is no good. It says, first of all, you only say one paragraph then. Now, that's a little bit of a funny question to ask, because you can't really bring that as a question on Rashi, because Rashi is clearly very aware of that. Right? Rashi says, Kriyas Parsha HaRishon, Parsha Rishon, Shadim Kharim. So it's not like Rashi wasn't aware. Rashi even said, oh, Kriyas Shema Al-Hamita, whatever that is, and Tosfos says, no, it's only the first paragraph. So Rashi seems to be aware that it's the first paragraph, but nonetheless, Tosfos felt that that's an issue, that the fact that the Kriyas Shema Al-Hamita is only one paragraph is not going to be good enough. Second of all, there's no brachas. By the way, I may be saying this question out of order when I say second of all, but we're just offhand, so there's no brachas, and that seems to be a problem. Rabbi Shechter has a comment in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, that without getting into this discussion now, but this is a topic that the later Gemaras will get us into more. In general, it's a discussion of what exactly is the nature of Birchas Kriyashma. Birchas Kriyashma is really a little bit of a strange creation. You know? In the essence, it's the words sound like we're saying these are brachos that we make on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But that's not at all clear that the case. There's a little bit of a discussion in Rishonim what exactly is going on. Is brachos Kriyat Shema to be viewed as a brachos ha-mitzvah on Kriyat Shema? Is it to be viewed as some other bracha on Kriyat Shema, not a brachos ha-mitzvah? Or some other type of creation entirely? That's a discussion that we'll have to get to. But it seems to be, there's a lot of evidence that brachos Kriyat Shema is really more a function of tefillah than it is a function of Kriyat Shema. And so Rashi just points out in the Eretz HaTzvi, I think it's in Siman Gimel, that seems to be argued here between Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi is assuming that really Brachas Kriyat Shema is not about Kriyat Shema, it's more about Tefillah. And therefore, Rashi is not bothered by the fact that you're doing Brachas Kriyat Shema during your Maariv time, and later on during your Kriyat Shema time, you're not saying Brachas Kriyat Shema. Rashi's not concerned about that. But Tosfos apparently believes that Brachas Kriyat Shema is a din that is tied up in Kriyat Shema itself, and therefore feels that it should go more with the Kriyat Shema time. And so to say that Kriyat Shema Amita is good when it doesn't have brachas is going to be more of a problem. And again, that's a topic that we'll get more into when we get, willing to get to the sigils of Brachas Kriyat Shema, but that seems to be a little bit of an issue here. And the other thing that bothers Tosis is one, that Kriyat Shema Amita is really just a segula against Mezikin, it sounds like in the Gemara, a segula against demons. And the Gemara says that Talmud Chacham doesn't have to say it even. And the Nesib in his commentary to the Shilfus explains what's bothering Tosfos here, that apparently he's worried that people aren't even going to say this Kriyat Shema, that they're not going to view this as any type of an obligation. So that's problem number three. And problem number four that Tosfos raises is that there's a dispute in the Gemara, again we'll see later on, the dispute in the Gemara about the question of Smichas Gula Tefila. And the basic question is the structure of Kriyat Shema and Shemoneh Esrei together. That we know that when it comes to chakras, so we have Kriyat Shema and then we have Shemoneh Esrei. And by Meir, we have the same structure. But that's a dispute in the Gemara. According to one opinion in the Gemara, Shib and Levi, should be the other way around. That Tefilos Be'emsa Tiknum, the two Tefilos should be in between the two Kriyat Shemas. So if you have Kriyat Shema at night, you'll start Kriyat Shema and then the other way around. But whatever it is, you're going to have, at night, you're going to have Shemoneh Esrei and then Kriyat Shema. And we don't pass it like that. Right, we pass in that Kriyat Shema has got to come before Tefillah, and then have to make a school of Tefillah. And according to Rashi's scenario, in which you're going to have first be Yotei Shemoneh Esrei when you go to shul, and then when you go to sleep, you say Kriyat Shema Amita, you'll do Kriyat Shema then. So that's going to mess up this whole order, which is against the way we pass in. So for that reason also, Tosfos says it can't be that Rashi is correct, and it's got to be that Kriyat Shema Amita, first of all, is not going to be effective. Right, this last question of Smichas Gula Tefillah really attacks both problems of Rashi, both statements of Rashi. The first two questions are all about Kriyat Shema Amita being any good, and how can Kriyat Shema Amita be any good if it's only one paragraph and no brachas, and it's really only for the Mezikim. But the second, this fourth problem, really affects both assumptions of Rashi. That Kriyat Shema Amita is good, and that Kriyat Shema and Shul is no good. Because says Tosfos, that Kriyat Shema and Shul is no good, and we're doing Kriyat Shema later, even according to us, not like Rashi, but according to us, we'll just repeat the whole Kriyat Shema later. So that means you have Shema Esrei and then Kriyat Shema, and that's against the way we pass it. That's an opinion in the Gemara that we don't hold on. So how can you have Kriyat Shema after Shema Esrei? Can't work, says Tosfos. Hi?
Is the primary Smichas Gula Tefillah putting the breath of Galus for Elness to Shema Esrei, or putting Shema Esrei to Shema Esrei?
So a good question, what Smichas Gula says. The topic that ran up to you. That's the channel we'll try to get to. It's a big topic in the school too. But just on the surface, whatever it's about, on the surface, it seems to be telling us that Kriyat Shema comes before Shemoneh Esrei, and with Rashi's plan, it's not going to work. So what exactly is going on? So we're a little bit over time, so I'll just basically finish off the Tosfos, and then next time we'll get into it more. So Tosfos suggests that it's got to be that really the Kriyat Shema and Shul works. So how could Kriyat Shema and Shul work? We know the Mishnah tells us that Kriyat Shema only starts when Seisak HaKavim. So how's it going to work? So Tosfos has two approaches: there's the Ri and the Ben Etan. So according to the Ri, it's not so pashut that Seisak HaKavim is when it starts. We find that if you look in Daf Beis Medeis and you look at this whole daf here, so you find that it's a very blurry thing, this beginning of Kriyat Shema time, and there are a couple of different opinions suggested. And it could be that earlier opinions also work. It could be that maybe Man Kriyat Shema, despite the fact that the Mishnah seems pretty sure about it, maybe we're not so sure about it. Maybe Kriyat Shema doesn't really start at Seisak HaKavim. Maybe it really starts a little bit earlier than Seisak HaKavim. So that's the opinion of the Ri. That basically when we dive in earlier in Shul, it's because we happen to hold that really Kriyat Shema could actually be a little bit earlier. Hi. Or Rabbeinu Tam is a different opinion anyway.
What?
Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with this opinion anyway.
Right,
it's a good question on how, just in general, the whole position of the Ri is very tricky. Because to say it's one of these other opinions and then to assume that the Minig works out, that the people were davening only after these opinions, is a little bit hard to square with the facts. So basically, Rabbeinu Tam's suggestion has attracted a lot more attention than the Ri. And that's a major discussion we'll have to have in more detail next time. But just to basically set out what it is that Rabbeinu Tam is saying, Rabbeinu Tam basically explains like this. That, and it's a very controversial statement, what exactly saying, and we'll spend more time, Be'ez Hashem, next time going through it. That the Gemara and Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara in the fourth paragraph tells us that there is a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim as to when exactly Mincha ends, and apparently when Ma'ariv starts. So, according to Chachamim, so Mincha goes up until it gets dark, and that's when Ma'ariv starts. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, So Mincha goes up until Plag HaMincha. And then presumably Meir starts that. So, says Rabbeinu Tam, and again it's very controversial, that it must be that we have the right, these people who were saying Kriya Shema earlier, are assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Mincha goes until Plag. So then apparently Mincha, then apparently Meir and Kriya Shema starts. Aye, but sometimes we find that these people are going to also have Mincha after Plag. So is it really true that they really hold that way? So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, if you look at the Gemara there in Brachas, the Gemara has a very interesting statement. The Gemara says about this dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, you can do whatever you want. David Kamar, Ovid? David Kamar, Ovid. So apparently you have a right to take different positions here, and that's what's going on. So basically, the idea of saying Kriya Shema before really is based on this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that allows, apparently is allowing Meir after Plag HaMincha. And still, at the same time, we're not bound to always finish Mincha then because the Gemara gives us this flexibility of choosing either opinion. There's a host of issues that Tosfos is raising, and we're going to have to get into them next time, but just on the surface, some of the issues that are raised. How exactly, sorry? Right. Okay, so one major question here is that, and this is something that we'll talk about, is that Tosfos seems to be glossing over the difference between Kriya Shema and Meir. Right, that we are all, as Shlomo was pointing out, we're not so bothered by the idea of davening Meir early. But there's no reason necessarily to assume that Kriya Shema is going to follow the same rules as Meir. Kriya Shema is based on the Shachbuch of Kamecha, and Meir and Mincha are based on Karbonos. So to assume that because Mincha ends early, Meir starts early, therefore the factor of Shechiva that defines Kriya Shema is also going to start earlier, is a difficult assumption. So that's one topic that we'll have to discuss. And in general, it's a topic of discussion in Achronim, whether when we talk about Kriya Shema, are we really talking about Shechiva and Kima, or are these really nicknames for night and day? So that's one topic that we'll have to pick up from this. Besides which, in general, the assumption that the Gemara, the statement the Gemara makes about Tefillah is relevant to Kriya Shema is a topic the Shagas Aryeh found very offensive, because, and others questioned also, because the Shagas Aryeh assumes the Gemara is talking about Shagas Aryeh and Simon Gimel. So the Gemara says Mincha can go, you can choose which way to go by Mincha and Meir, because that's Tefillah. And Tefillah is a Din Derabbanan. So, Sopik Derabbanan, Lakul. But Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema is Daraisa. So how could you pick and choose when it comes to Kriya Shema? So Rabbeinu Tam, the way the Shagas Aryeh understands it, Rabbeinu Tam must be assuming that Kriya Shema is Rabbanan. As I mentioned, it's not an unheard of opinion, but it's such a minority opinion, it can't be right, so that reason the Shagas Aryeh dispenses with the soul of Rabbeinu Tam. So we'll have to talk about that exactly, how exactly that plays a role. And so that's at least the second topic that we're going to have to get to. And the third topic that's very much on the surface here is the whole question of what we call Tarta Desasre, of doing two things in the same time zone. If I'm going to say that today I can daven Mincha after Plag, and tomorrow I'm going to daven Meir after Plag, and what if I'm going to do them in the same day? So that's a major topic in practice and a major topic in how understanding what's going on. Forget about Kriya Shema, how do we do it when it comes to Mincha? And then certainly, how can we transfer it to Kriya Shema? So all of this is a major discussion, and Be'ez Hashem will pick us up next time. All right. Shkoyach.
Tomorrow morning, when we have a guest speaker, the Dean of Yula. It's also one of the volume in the community. 2 years ago, when we had our first summer kollel, he spoke to the guys, especially guys who are thinking of going into Chinuch, and he really had some great insights. He spoke about issues that